Good morning and welcome to New Life Church and welcome to our virtual service. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And we want to just extend a warm welcome to anyone who's a guest here this morning. My name is Kunrad Bugelink. I'm one of the pastors at New Life Church. And we hope that through the various ways that you engage with our community this morning, that you come to experience that New Life Church is a church community where you can expect to experience a changed life, that you get to interact with a diverse community, and that you feel empowered to make a radical impact in this world. So there's a number of ways that you can stay connected with us through this time of physical distancing. The first way is you can check us out on our website at www.newlifecrc.ca. It's right there. The second way you can connect with us this morning is through Facebook or the Gram, and you can check us out at New Life Abbey. Right there. We want to thank you for joining us this morning, and let's join the worship team. Let's give praises to our Lord and Savior.
You are love, you bring light to the Thank you so much, worship team. Hi, my name is Justin Dudney, and it's my privilege to serve as Young Adults and Life Groups pastor at New Life. And as a Life Groups pastor, I just want to encourage you, if you're connected in a Life Group, please make sure that you're reaching out to one another and making sure that each other are doing well. If you're not a part of a Life Group yet, we want to ask that you would reach out to us. Let us know how you're doing and how we can be praying for you in these times. I also want to say a big, big happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. Hi, Mom. I love you. We just want to say thank you for all you do. Thank you for the things that you do that we don't see. Thank you for all the extra work. You're the real heroes. And we're just sad that we're not able to be together to celebrate this special day. But in an attempt to show our love to you, we put together some small gift bags, and we ask that your husbands and your kids would come and pick them up and just make you feel blessed on this Mother's Day. To all you moms and spiritual moms out there, happy Mother's Day. If you weren't able to get a gift bag, we are going to have a little space for you available Monday between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. where you can come and pick it up or send a family member to pick that up. And if you're not able to get out to us, please let us know, and we're going to provide a space to deliver to you, make sure that you are loved. So happy Mother's Day to you all. Kids, as usual, Pastor Sam has put together an amazing service just for you, and it's gonna be awesome. So parents, right now is the time for you to look in the video description below or go to our New Life website, newlifecrc.ca, and you're gonna find the kids' message and their kids' activity printout. And that way they can have their service either in the next room or right beside you with headphones on and ability to watch that, and then you can watch yours. We also just really miss seeing all the New Life kids and all they're doing Sunday to Sunday. And so if you could send some pictures of what your kids are doing in these days, that way New Life kids can see each other and stay connected. So you can send that through Facebook, Instagram, through text or email. And we would love to receive those so that they can see one another. Now is the perfect time for you to go ahead and click pause and get all that set up. At this time in our service, we're going to be giving our gifts to the Father. And this week's offering is going to be given towards Advocate, and that's formerly known as Right to Life Ministries. And at New Life, there's a variety of ways for you to give online. We have e-transfer and our New Life app and text to give. All that is available in the video description. And if you feel led by the Father to give today, those are made available to you. Would you please join me as we lift up this offering in prayer and our message this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you've been doing in Abbotsford in these times. We trust that you have been using this difficult time to bring people closer to yourself. And this time we want to lift up Advocate Ministries to you, Lord. We want to ask that you would be with the staff there that are reaching out to all of the clients and these women that are in need of a lot of help. We just ask that you would cover them, that you'd bless them, and that you'd give them wisdom and clarity for how to walk through life with these clients. We thank you for that ministry and ask your blessing on them. We also just lift up all the moms today, all around the world. We thank you for them, God. We pray that you would bless them. We thank you for all that they do and who they are and the way that they've discipled and raised so many amazing men and women. We just want to pray that your hand would be upon them, both spiritual mothers and physical mothers. We just ask your blessing on them, Father. And we ask for another measure of your grace for especially those moms who are having to navigate all the new changes for little ones and schooling and everything that's going on now. I pray for your blessing on them, Lord, and your renewed strength for them. We also just want to lift up Pastor Nathan and the message, and we ask that our hearts would be ready to receive your word through his message this morning. Have your way in our lives, and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. We're going to now go and hear Pastor Nathan's message.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life Church and to another one of our virtual worship services. So glad that you've joined us. We're in a series of messages called Strong and Sure, and it's based on a letter in the back of the New Testament called 1 John. And we are just talking about some of the things that we can be absolutely certain about in the midst of so much uncertainty and upheaval in our world today. So for an image and a symbol of what we're talking about, we've introduced the idea of trees that are standing tall. tall and firm. And so today I am standing in front of a tree in the backyard of Lisa and Eric Hugenrad. And they planted this tree 32 years ago when they moved into the place. And so it has a lot of meaning for them. And as well, it symbolizes, I think, brilliantly our message of being strong and sure, learning to live confidently in faith in God. And so last week, and I would invite you to continue to send in your pictures. We've received a lot already. And continue to look around in your neighborhood or in your backyard for the trees that symbolize that kind of strength and certainty. Last week, we talked about the certainty of Jesus' physical existence and how God sending Jesus into our world assures us that God cares about our world and about our physical existence. Today, we want to talk about forgiveness. And here's what John says. It's the very next topic that John addresses in his letter, right after he talks about the existence of Jesus, how he has seen and heard and touched Jesus. Then also, John moves on to talk about forgiveness. Here's what he says. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 8 through chapter 2, verse 2. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, John uses that term often actually throughout this letter. I think it's a term of endearment, but it's perhaps also a term that refers to the immaturity of the people to whom he's writing. My dear children, he says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, you might be thinking, well, what are we talking about forgiveness for? One of the finer points of theology, perhaps, that, man, in the midst of a pandemic and just trying to get through and wondering how we're going to make it into the future and getting back to normal, whatever that might mean, why are we talking about forgiveness? And I think that would probably betray our sense of self-dependence. And it would probably indicate how little we know about ourselves, perhaps, or worse, it would display the fact that we don't really realize or recognize, or perhaps we don't want to recognize, our condition before God Almighty. So, Lou Smeeds, he wrote the book on forgiveness. Actually, literally, he wrote a book called Forgive and Forget, a wonderful book. Exploring all of the avenues and aspects of forgiveness. But he recalls a story from a play in which a German Nazi general named Engel was imprisoned for 30 years for war crimes that he had committed during the Second World War. And he has completed his 30 years of imprisonment, and he moves into France in a small little village in the middle of France to try to rebuild his life, start all over, and reestablish some semblance of living. A journalist gets to know about this, and so he goes to that village because he still holds a grudge against all of the crimes of the Nazi regime, and particularly against General Engel. And so he moves to the village there, and he stirs up all kinds of hatred and fear among the village people about General Engel, who's living in their town. As he does that, he feels the need to be able to talk personally to General Engel. And so he stops by one day and says, he's talking to the general about how the whole town is, really angry and they're going to kill him. And as he's talking, his heart softens. And he says to General Engel, "To be honest, the townspeople are going to kill you tonight. But if you'll follow me, I can lead you to safety." And General Engel responds and says, "I will follow you under one condition, that you forgive me." And the journalist replies, "General Engel, I will save you, but I will never forgive you." What General Engel wanted more than life itself was forgiveness, which indicates the importance, and this is the point of the play that Lou Smeads recalls. The point of the play is to place in front of us the question, what is so essential about forgiveness that we cannot live without it? Or as Lou Smeads puts it in his words, he asks the question, what is the miracle of forgiveness? Indeed, when forgiveness happens, something extraordinary, something spectacular happens. Perhaps even something supernatural happens. What is it that makes forgiveness so significant? Well, the absolute need for forgiveness indicates, at least in the first place, that there is something wrong with the world and with us. The need for forgiveness means that we are doing things wrong. We are doing things that offend others and ultimately that offend God. Things are not the way they are supposed to be. And forgiveness tells us that. C.S. Lewis, therefore, makes the point in his book, Mere Christianity, that forgiveness is surely the very center of the gospel. Forgiveness is the climax of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's death, C.S. Lewis says, it's in Christ's death that Jesus then says, "It is finished," referring to the full restoration between God and human beings. It is finished. Forgiveness has been accomplished. If there is no forgiveness, then indeed there is no good news. If there is no forgiveness, then we are not made right with God. If there is no forgiveness, then all hope is lost. If there is no forgiveness, then we stand forever condemned. The certainty of forgiveness breathes life into our sin-sick souls. And perhaps more than ever nowadays, in the midst of this pandemic, we recognize that, or at least we have the opportunity to recognize that. In the midst of a pandemic, we don't have any more places to escape to, and so we're confronted with ourselves as we are, with all of our faults and weaknesses, all of our failures, all of our impatience, all of our anxiety, all of our frustration, all of our exasperation. And more than ever, perhaps, we can recognize that forgiveness, if only it means that we can forgive ourselves, that forgiveness can breathe life back into us. So what is that power of forgiveness? Well, first of all, the power of forgiveness is not in forgetting sin. Lou Smeads comments that all you need to forget is a bad memory. And the power of forgiveness is not in excusing as well. It's not just a matter of explaining our faults and our weaknesses. That simply explains them away. It doesn't resolve our sin. It doesn't fix our offenses. The power of forgiveness is not conditional either. John insists that if we pretend that we don't sin, we make God a liar, and therefore confession is necessary. We must admit our sin, but it's not conditional. God decides to forgive even beyond our confessions. Certainly, we don't know all of our sins, all of our weaknesses, or we're not aware of them, or we ignore them. And yet God forgives. And finally, the power of forgiveness is not in a mere technique of simple know-how, so that if you just get the right form, I mean, surely you know this if you've ever had the opportunity to forgive someone, and when it's done, when you've forgiven them, you wonder to yourself, has it really taken? Does it really work? No, the power of forgiveness is in the certainty of God's forgiveness. Therein lies the power of any kind of forgiveness. And hidden in that is the miracle. It is a miracle. God's forgiveness is a miracle. God decides to forgive, and so it happens. We talk about God's forgiveness when we reflect on Jesus dying on the cross. John talks about it. He talks about Jesus Christ being the righteous one, making us righteous. He talks about Jesus being the atoning sacrifice for our sin. How does forgiveness work? Well, we have theories for it, I suppose. We talk about substitutionary atonement, or we talk about the penal theory of Christ's atonement, that Christ takes on the penalty for our sin, or he's the substitute for us. But how does it work? Ultimately, all that we can say is it's a miracle. It happens. The certainty of God's forgiveness is a miracle. But here's the tricky thing then. If you think about it, in order for forgiveness to take place, it needs to be asked for. You need to be able to approach someone and say, look, I've done wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And in asking for forgiveness, we are making confession. We're making an admission that we are wrong. And the risk in that is that of rejection, or worse, condemnation. Lou Smeads again observes that confession, he says, is a gamble on grace. And he recalls the story of in the movie Tess, where a young bride decides to gamble on her happiness with her future husband. And she approaches him just before the wedding and says that she admits to a tragic mistake that she has made in a previous relationship with another man. She confesses. And her future husband's body stiffens, and his lips go tight, and his dry eyes freeze over, and he doesn't possess the grace to forgive. The new about-to-be bride took a gamble and lost, and her life is thereafter over. That's the gamble of grace. And John recognizes that risk, and that's why he so emphasizes the certainty of God's forgiveness. He recognizes it later on in the letter. In John, 1 John chapter 3, he writes this, if our hearts condemn us, and they will, perhaps more so even in this time, when we don't have anywhere to escape, when we have so few activities to engage with, and we're stuck sitting on the couch watching yet another rerun, and we're faced with our weaknesses, we're faced with our failures, our hearts condemn us. Yes, indeed. But John writes, if our hearts condemn us, we know, there's that certainty, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And so then John writes right after that in verse 21, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And that is how we live confidently, even in a time of upheaval such as we are in. To live confidently is to be certain about God's forgiveness. It's a sure thing, strong and sure. Yes, indeed, the future is so uncertain. And perhaps even at this time, as this pandemic lingers and we are getting tired of waiting for the next step into normalcy, we're wondering, what will become of us? What will our life look like? And in the midst of all of that uncertainty, this one thing is sure. God will walk into that uncertain future with us. We are on his side. He will not close the door on us. He will not turn his back on us. His eyes will not glaze over, frozen, resisting our presence. No, his forgiveness is certain, and he promises to be with us. It'd be easy to give up on our world in the midst of all of the upheaval, to kind of just throw up our hands and say, well, I tried, but it's not good enough. And the way the world is turning out right now, it makes us wonder, and it certainly makes us frustrated and impatient. But our hope is in God's sure forgiveness that forgives everything and everyone and restores everything and everyone back to God in the way that they are supposed to be. That is the good news that you can stake your life on for an uncertain future. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the assurance that it brings us, that in the midst of our own brokenness and our own weakness and our own failures, God, that we can go to you and confess our sin and know that you will forgive, that your grace is strong and sure, and your forgiveness is certain. And so we pray that your forgiveness washes over us and makes us like brand new, so that we can go into this week with the certainty of your grace, building us up so that we can live in confidence as we seek to walk by faith. And so, God, we pray again, make us sure and certain. Make us strong as we trust in you. We commit all of this to you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So go into this week with that kind of confidence, the confidence that God forgives you, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. Have a wonderful Sunday.